preaching for us. Brother Jeremy, I had the honor of, believe it or not, I had the honor for a short period of time to be Brother Brian, Brother Derek, and Brother Jeremy's pastor at the same time. Same time. And we have some wonderful, wonderful memories of each other. We were talking a little bit about them out there in the lobby earlier, and Brother Jeremy said, there's some things we don't need to talk about before I preach. Amen. But I will tell this on Brother Jeremy. Brother Jeremy was attending the church here in the old building, Brother Allen. The altar just butted up against the stage. He just was flush against the stage. And Brother Jeremy came to the altar one night. It was a night service. And I knelt down there. He's here and I'm down. And there's about a half a dozen or a dozen guys around him. I think Sister Tamara even came to pray with him. And all he was saying was these words, Lord, I'm not leaving here till you bless me. That's all he was saying. Remember that, Jeremy? Lord, I'm not leaving here till you bless me. He said that over and over and over. And then all of a sudden I heard him say, Lord, I feel it coming on. Lord, I feel it coming on. And I want to tell you something, it come on. Brother Jeremy shot straight up out of the altar. It looked like bowling pins. When he turned to head down that center aisle, that aisle, it looked like bowling pins just fell out. And Brother Jeremy ran straight out of the back door of the auditorium. He ran out in the parking lot, glorifying and magnifying God. You say, well, that's just as silly as I've ever heard. I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful that Jeremy said, Lord, I'm not leaving here till you bless me. And do you realize if we would get determined and we get an altar, many times we quit before we even get started. That's not for anything. But brother, we'll stay there and tarry until we pray through. I'm talking about praying through till you touch heaven. And then don't quit praying until heaven starts touching you. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeremy Howe, give him a great big welcome. Come on. Come on. Brother.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I thank the Lord for His presence. And God is so good. God's been good to me. Somebody might say that was silly, and I'll tell you this. Somebody said, what was that like? And the old-timers used to say, it's better felt than telt. Amen? And I'd say to the critic, don't knock it till you try it. Amen? And when God saved me, I knew He saved me because I felt it. Amen? And you still ought to feel it. Amen? And God hadn't changed. I took me a lap around our building Sunday. Amen? Didn't I, Brother Gary? And there's a man from our church here today, Brother Gary Wilson. And I'm glad he made the trip from McCurtain, America. It still is in the United States. Amen? It's on the border, but it's still there. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Brother Gary coming. Appreciate you being here today. It's the torrential downpour outside, but you want to be in the presence of God. Amen. And if that's what you come for, that's what you can have. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. First of all, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And if you turn there, and I'm going to read a verse of Scripture to you there. And then I'm going to read another verse to you from chapter 2. But I'll ask you to hold your Bible handy because I'm going to refer to three or four places. Now, there's three or four places that mention the subject I'm going to preach on this morning in the Bible. Three or four places is all there are, about four. And they're all in Ephesians. And I've spent a lot of time recently preaching out of the book of Ephesians. The Lord just keeps taking me there. The book of Ephesians is the New Testament companion to the book of Joshua. It's about possessing the promises of God. Amen. How many believe today that God gave us His promises? Amen. But He told us that we've got to go get them. Amen. There's some things that we need to go get from the Lord that He gave us. He's not... We've got to get active about some things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. What I want you to see a contrast between this verse and then the next verse I'm going to read you. I want you to notice this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness." And everybody say the last two words with me. High places. High places. You ought to underline those two words in your Bible. High places. Before I read the next one to you, high places is the best the devil's got. Oh, don't shout me down, amen. They'll think you're Baptist around here. High places is the best the devil's got. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, "And hath raised us up together." Say together. "And made us. Well, I feel like running this morning. "Made us sit together in..." Oh, no, no, no. I'm an audience participation preacher. That means you ain't ever getting out this morning till you participate. Amen. "He made us sit together in..." So the devil's got high places. I can see high places. I can get on a ladder and touch high places. But God give us something better. You ain't hearing me. God give us something better than high places. He has raised us up. I'm talking higher than any ladder. Higher than a scissor lift. Huh? "He has raised us up together and made us." He hand delivered us to heavenly places. I want to preach on this thought for just a minute this morning. Sitting in heavenly places. Fathers, we bow in your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to be at Calvary again, and I ask you to anoint me this morning and help me preach with power and unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would loose my tongue this morning, loose my mind, and enable it, Lord, that it can be used by you, Lord, to deliver a message, God, to a camp meeting crowd. Father, Lord, and that you would show up today and, Lord, show out, God. We just want to sit and watch you go today. Father, and I pray that you'd move, Lord, all over this room today. God, elevate us this morning, God, from high places to heavenly places. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Listen, I'm telling you today that there is a power that God has to elevate us. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you this, that the power I'm talking about is the power that God has and that God ordains. And He gives us these two comparative verses to show us something. They were singing that song that they can't quit. I will tell you that when you feel like quitting, it is when your eyes and your focus is on high places. When you get to thinking about all that is over you and all that comes over you and all that oppresses you and all that depresses you and all that discourages you and all that deters you and all that delays you, you get focused on high places. things that are above your head. Amen. Things that are above your pay scale, as some people may say. Things that are above your human ability. You get to focusing on those and you'll quit. You'll want to quit. You'll want to give up and throw in the towel. But I'm telling you something today that God... to realizing that God has given us something that is better than the high places. Something that is higher than the high places. Hey, how many know this? That the God of glory has prepared something for you. If you believe that, shout amen. Listen, I want to tell you this. That the Bible tells us that we see in the Bible that the book of Ephesians correlates with Joshua. God gave the children of Israel promises, and he said, I have given you the land to possess it. He said, you've got to go in and take it. And that is what Ephesians is about. It is about possessing the promises that God has provided for you. There are certain things that God has promised all believers. But I want to tell you this, you'll not get them just because you got saved. I want to tell you what happened that night that I fell down on the altar. And I'll tell you this, I'm probably standing near the area where that took place. I think, as a matter of fact, I know the Lord about right here. Amen. I've lost a microphone of some sort. Keep on going, keep a licking, keep on ticking. But I remember that night, what that was all about that night was this, is that I knew that there was something greater in God than what I got the mere night I got saved. And I told the Lord, I'm not getting out of this altar until I get a greater dose of whatever it is that you've got for me. I was around, listen, I'm telling you, I grew up, I had a lot of heroes of the faith, and I saw in them something that I knew that I did not have. I knew that I was saved. I knew that I was on my way to heaven. I read the Bible and I read that Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe on my name. And I told the Lord, Lord, I know what your word says, but Lord, I don't have it, and I need it if I'm going to serve you. And that night I made up my mind, if I had to lock the doors when I left, I was staying there until I got it. I was oppressed because all I could see was the high places. All I could see was spiritual wickedness all hovering over me. And a lot of you today, that's how you came in. You came in high places oppressing you, high places tearing you down, the power of the enemy threatening to destroy you. I'm telling you, the same power of God that I've got, you can have, because my God is real, and if He promised it in the Word, He's still giving it today. Hallelujah. You know, they tell that story that I said, I feel it coming on. I don't remember that. I don't remember saying that. I believe them. Amen. I've heard so many say it. The truth is it did come on. Amen. But here's the deal. God's the one that flipped the switch. Amen. I don't even know where the switch is. Amen. But God flipped the switch. Listen, truth is I didn't fully understand, I didn't fully realize what was going on till I got out in the parking lot and I'm out there praising God among the Fords and Lincolns and Mercurys. Amen. You said, Brother Jeremy, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that you have access today. Are you listening to me? You have access today to something that is greater than anything this world has. A lot of people set their goals on the here and the now. They want to be millionaires and they want to drive the best cars and they want to live in the best homes. But I'm here to tell you all those things one day are going to burn up. Amen. I've set my affections on other things. I've got my goals set higher. You see, God has made me. He has raised me up with you to sit in the heavenly places. Now listen, I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die. Amen. What I'm talking about is when heaven comes down to you. Amen. I'm telling you, when heaven comes down, you'll go up. Hallelujah. Listen, He is talking about heaven on earth. Why? because he understood that the full promises of God and the realm that believers can walk in when they accept those promises. He begins to pin down right here in Ephesians that there are some promises that you will never possess until you get out of the high places and you get into the heavenly places. You say, Brother Jeremiah, I don't understand it. You will in a minute. Listen, in chapter number 1, verse number 3, I haven't read it to you yet. Let me read this to you. Here's coming point number 1. This is what God will do for you in heavenly places. Point number 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Everybody say, blessed us with all. That means the totality of. Amen. That means if I can find it written in here. Glory. If I can find it written in here, it's mine. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Jeremy, what? Can you go on and finish that verse? I will if I can. Amen. It says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, you may not have realized it, but every good thing that ever happened to you came from a heavenly place. Hello. You got a promotion at work, you were sitting in a heavenly place. You didn't know if your need was going to be met. You sat in a heavenly place. Listen to me, I want to tell you, the blessings come to us in heavenly places. And listen, they're physical blessings, but there are greater blessings than physical blessings. He said He has given us all spiritual blessings. You say, what does that mean, Brother Jeremy? Listen, I want to tell you, a lot of us, we get our eyes on high places. And you know where we get our eyes? We get our eyes looking on those people that don't live right. They live like hell. They live like the devil. And we see them, it seems like they're blessed. It seems like they prosper. And we don't understand why, if we're trying to live for God, why? Why is that? Why is that? They're not that. Those kind of things come from high places. But I'm telling you, there is something greater, that there is a blessing, a level of blessing that is greater than that, that does not come from high places, but it comes from heavenly places. I meet young ladies all the time and young men all the time that say, I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to serve God, but I can't find a husband. I can't find a wife. Maybe I should lower my standard. Maybe I should lower my sights. Maybe I should lower my vision. And I've seen hundreds of them. They forsake their standards and they lower their standards. They live in misery and they live in defeat. Listen to what I'm telling you today, that the high places are deceptive, because the world worships the high places. The world worships those things. But there are blessings that will come to you if you will hold on and bypass the high places. There are blessings in heavenly places that you cannot even begin to describe. Listen. Look down a few verses, if you will, and I'll move to point 2. I know you can't believe how fast I'm preaching. It says in verse number 20, it says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Ooh. Pardon me. Woo! Where was you at on that one, Harold? Amen. Listen, He raised Him up. He set Him at His own right hand. Did it ever occur to you? And not only do our blessings come to us in high places, but listen, we've got somebody. You ain't hear me. We have somebody. We got one of our own kind. He's the only reason we got access. You know the only reason man can go to heaven? Listen, when under the animal sacrifice, man was sent to a place called Abraham's bosom or a place called paradise because man could not go to God because man was full of sin. But there was a man who came. You ain't hearing me. I said there was a man who came, and when he died on the cross, he was victorious over death and hell and sin. And the Bible said he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led the captivity captive. He brought them out, and my friend, when he resurrected, they resurrected, and they went into paradise. You know why we can go to heaven today? Because we got a man in heaven today. We can go to heaven because there's a man in heaven. There's a sinless because there's a sinless man in heaven, and God accepted him as the substitutionary sacrifice. Then my friend, mankind can go into heaven glory. You ain't listening. You say, what is the word for that, Brother Jeremy? It's the word advocate. You say, what is an advocate? It's an attorney. Do you know something? This Bible is a legal document. Did you know that? It's a legal document. It's a legally binding contract between God and man. Amen? And when you see Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and chapter 8, and He's holding in His hand a book that's sealed with seven seals. It's written on the inside and on the backside, and it's sealed with seven seals. Do you know what they did with the title deed? They would write down on the inside why the title was lost. They would seal it with seven seals. They would write on the outside the price of the redemption. And listen, the Bible says that everybody looked at John wept because nobody could open it. Amen. There was no hope for mankind. But there was a man come along, the man Jesus, who took the book and he opened the seals. Why? Because he was able to pay the price of the redemption that was written on the outside of the book. And my friend, when he opened up the book, listen, I want to tell you, we had freedom. We had an advocate with the Father. In the oldest courts in the world, advocates and attorneys used to be called a barrister. Even in Europe today, they still call them a barrister. And if I did a little bit of studying, and it took me a little while, but I went back and I began to study the oldest court systems before they have evolved into what they are today. And he's talking about it speaks here of a judicial system. By the way, this is exactly what we're looking at here. When he has sat down at the Father's right hand, he is sitting at the right hand of the judge. And do you know why he is there? He is there because he is going to take the place of and answer for the accused. You're not hearing me. You say, what is that? Listen, that's what an advocate's job was. That's what a barrister's job was, is that they had the exclusive and highest right to stand in place of and answer for the accused in their place. You say, I don't understand, Brother Jeremy. Jesus offered Himself as a sinless divine sacrifice. He offered His blood up to God, and the sacrifice was for our sin. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again, and He ever lives, the Bible says. He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. That means that His job changed. Amen. He went from being Savior to being advocate. He went from being sin to answering for your sin. And every time the accuser would come and raise up an accusation, the barrister, the advocate, he would step in. He would sit down at the judge's right hand and he said, I'll answer the charge. Hallelujah. I'm about to take me a lap around here this morning. You say, why can He do that? Listen, the case of sin was settled. And it was settled once and for all. Why? Because Jesus was not just a man. He was God. He was not half God and half man. But He was all God and He was all man. As God and as man, He settled the case. You say, that don't help me much. Listen, let me give you a little few things here. As a man, He became someone He wasn't before His birth. Both the Son of God and the Son of Man. As God, He never became anything because He ever was, He ever is, and He ever will be, am. For He told Moses, I am. And he looked at a group of people when he was Jesus on earth and said, before Abraham was, I am. And when you're am, you can't become. There never was a when. There never was a when he wasn't. There never will be a when he isn't. I'm sorry, I thought this was camp meeting. I don't see a hanky waving nowhere. Amen. Hear me. He is ever what he has been, is, and will be. If he changed one iota, he would cease to be am, but he always has been, always is, and always will be am. He had, as man, he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. As God, he had no cradle and he can have no tomb. You ain't hearing me? He had no morning and he can have no evening. It's ever high noon with him. And that's why the Word says, with God there is neither shadow nor turning. You're not listening today. He has never been younger and he will never be any older. He is the forever right now. 15 million, billion, quadrillion years ago is right now with him. 15 million, billion, quadrillion years into the future is right now with him. He is the one that determined the end from the beginning. Listen, nothing will ever shock God. Nothing will ever blow his mind. I heard Calvin Ray Evans say this. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Hear me. Listen. You know why he's our advocate? That's why. Hear me. He sits for us in heavenly places. Heaven came down to us. That's why no works will ever do it. And no preacher will ever do it. No denominational tag will ever do it. No church affiliation will ever do it. You've got access to heavenly places because there's an advocate sitting there for you. Number three, look at chapter 2 if you will. And we're going to look at verse number 6. I've read it to you in my main text, but let me read it to you again. He says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. You said, Brother Jeremy, what does that mean? He said, in heavenly places, we're together. Can I tell you something? We don't have to wait till we go to heaven to have heaven. I'm sorry, are you still there? Did you go home? I said we don't have to wait to go to heaven to have heaven. He said, when you come together. Kind of sounds like camp meeting. You're not hearing me. You see, I feel sorry for them people that try to just have church on the realm of earth. You've been there. Huh? They got their four or five songs and they pray their two or three prayers and the preacher gets up and gives this little spiel and nothing ever happens. Nobody's ever changed. Nobody ever shouts. Nobody's ever saved. Nobody ever runs. Hello? You say, but that ain't Baptist. I thought you was a Baptist. I said this at Harrison. I am a Baptist, but I ain't mad about it. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I tell my church, Brother Gary can tell you this, I tell my church, one of them said, you ain't no Baptist. I said, that's right, I'm Baptist-costal. Amen. Listen, the world is full of heartache and dread and fear and anxiety and depression and disease, and it all comes from high places. High places is the highest thing that many people ever hope to attain to. They spend years and years and thousands upon thousands of dollars trying to get college degrees so they can attain high places. They will step on people as they climb the corporate ladder trying to reach the heights of high places. Hello, they will cut people's throat, they will rob, they will steal, they will kill, they will backbite, they will slander, they will do all that stuff trying to reach high places. And you know where they do it at? They do it in church. They do it in church. Years ago, I was witnessing to a guy, and I was talking to him, and I did not realize he went to church anywhere at all. And I said, "Where do you go to church?" Matter of fact, truth is, I invited him to this church. It was when I went here. And he said, "Well, I go to First Baptist Church." And I said, and I'm not trying to slander First Baptist Church. They've done a good work. Don't anybody get offended and run tell Ronnie Floyd that Jeremy Howe's over here slandering First Baptist. Because that's not it at all. I'm telling you a story about what somebody really said. He made this statement. He said, "Well, I go over there," he said, "because it helps my business." Listen, it's high places. High places. But can I tell you something? There is something greater than high places. The Bible says that when we come together like this, we can sit together in heavenly places. You say, "What is that, Brother Jeremy?" Every now and then when we meet together, and it happens pretty regular at our place, but heaven comes down, don't it, Brother Gary? I know it happens around here. Heaven comes down. I've been here. Amen. I know it happens at Unity Covenant Church because I've been there. Heaven comes down. And I never should have started mentioning churches, but I know this because I've been around some people. I know it happens at Dublin, and I know it happens at Faith, and I know it happens at Harmony down in Bastrop, Louisiana. I know that. You know why it happens, my friend? Because we get our eyes off the high places and we fix our focus on heavenly places. Every now and then when heaven comes down, you know what will happen? When heaven comes down, you won't have to look at anybody and say, "Heaven came down." Right. Amen. People will look at each other and say, "Heaven came down." You know why? Because when heaven comes down, strange things happen. In June 1998, I was at a little church over in the middle of nowhere. 2 miles below the Lake Eufaula Dam is a little church called Pioneer. And I was preaching revival there. And it was on a Tuesday night. And on that Tuesday night, we went back in the prayer room. And there was a man. And I thought this was the strangest name I've ever heard anybody have. Come to find out, wasn't his real name. It was his nickname, what he was named his whole life growing up, what people called him. They said, "Pray for Peepo Pemberton." Don't say it 3 times, amen. You'll say something you shouldn't. Hello. He said, "Pray for him. Him and his wife got a new baby that's 4 months old. They never held. He's never held this baby. He's sick. People's sick. They don't know what's wrong with him. He's been to Mayo Clinic. He's been to Cleveland Clinic. And they can't find what's wrong. They finally sent him home and told him to call in hospice. They said, we have no medical answers. He's dying. His body's shutting down. He's lost control of his bodily functions. He can't walk. He can't talk. Sometimes he can't hold his head up. Sometimes he can't keep his eyes open. Sometimes his mouth falls open and drool just runs out of his mouth. He was a picture of health. Worked hard, took care of his wife, took care of his place, took pride in his place. Came in on that Tuesday night. We had that prayer request. We prayed. We walked out. The pastor of the church leaned over and said, they're carrying him in the back door right now. I looked back there and listened to me. 2 people were carrying him in. They carried him in and some people got up and went and got chairs out of the fellowship hall and brought him in and set him down the aisle so that he could lay across the back pew. And his wife sat there by his head and she had a washcloth that every now and then I'd look back while I was preaching and I'd see her take that washcloth and wipe his head. I thought, Lord, help them. They need the touch of God. Well, I gave the altar call that night, and listen, there were several people came to the altar, and we were praying with some people, and I felt somebody. I was in the middle of my prayer, and somebody interrupted my prayer. They pulled on my jacket. I turned around and looked, and there was his wife. And they had the front row had cleared out, and so some of them had carried him up and laid him on the front row. They said, the reason we're here tonight is because we want him to be prayed for. We heard that God was moving here. So we began to pray. And listen, the Lord spoke to me and said, have somebody sit him up. So we set him up. She said, he can't sit up. I said, set somebody, a strong body on this side and a strong body on that side. And we began to pray. And the Holy Ghost came down. And the glory of God ushered into that place. People began to shout. Listen, they started shouting. They started celebrating His healing. And listen to me, my heart broke and I wept and I cried as they carried Him. Carried him out of the building. that night. I felt so defeated. I said, Lord, all day long I prayed and said, God, I don't understand that because I know that You was there. At that time, Christy and I were engaged and she drove over to church that night and me and the pastor of the church met her at the church at 6 o'clock. And we were just sitting there on the parking lot, standing there on the parking lot, and we were visiting, we were talking and waiting on people to get there. And about 5 or 6 minutes after 6 o'clock, a truck pulls in the parking lot and the guy gets out, and I thought, well, there's some new people. Praise the Lord. Didn't recognize the guy, and he walked around, he opened up the door of his red Ford truck. I remember this. It was a two-tone Ford truck. It was red on the top, it was red on the bottom, and it was gray down the middle. I mean, it was sharp. I thought, I'd like to have a truck like that. Amen? Yeah. Listen, he opened the door up. He helped a woman down. I thought, she looks familiar. Yeah. Yeah. He's wearing a cowboy hat. He opens up the back door. This is a four-door truck. He opens up the back door. He reaches in there. He pulls out a baby. He's holding this baby. Yeah. He's got his wife's hand in his hand. They start walking over toward us. You ain't hearing me. The closer they get, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Tears. I didn't mean to do it. Tears start rolling down my face. Pastor starts crying. We had just, you know what we were telling Christy about was what had happened the night before and how we were so brokenhearted that God hadn't healed. He walked up and he said, I'd like to shake your hand. You ain't hearing me. He, Paul Pemberton, shook my hand, holding his baby, walking his wife to church. He, Paul Pemberton, said, I didn't tell anybody but my family. He said, because I wanted to tell you first. He said, last night on the way home, my wife and my father-in-law are driving me down the road. He said, I'm laid across that back seat. He said, the baby's in the car with my mother-in-law. He said, something came over me. He said, I sat up in the back of that car. He said, I started talking. He said, the glory of God came on the scene. Hallelujah. You say, what was that, Brother Jeremy? It was heavenly places. Heavenly places. God, high places said, he's going to die. High places said, call in hospice. High places said, throw in the towel. But God said, I'm about to raise you up to some high places. I come in here today, sent by the Holy Ghost of God, to tell you, whoever you are, it ain't everybody, but it's somebody, that you've been listening to high places. High places told you you're going down. High places said you ain't going to make it. High places said you can't survive. But God said, I'm about to elevate your status. I'm about to raise you up out of high places into heavenly places. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd preach a while. Listen to me. Strange, strange things happen. Strange things happen in high places. I'm glad I don't have to be bound to having church in a building made with hands. The Bible said Abraham knew something about high places. It says he looked for a city not made with hands. Listen, I'm telling you something. I got something greater than this world. I got something greater than this world. I got heavenly places. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to have heaven. Listen to me. Fourthly, I'm done. Parsons family, y'all can be thinking about what you're going to do. I'll call you in just a minute. Listen to me. Chapter 3, verse number 10. Listen to what it says. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. Listen, are you hearing me? Remember where the devil's at. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. Listen to this. To the intent that now unto, in other words, there's a message coming down to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You say, I don't get it, Brother Jeremy. We're not trying to win. We've already won. Hello? You say, where's the evidence? The evidence is heavenly places. When God lets us sit together in heavenly places, it's the evidence that we've already won. And you know why God raised up a church? Do you know why God raised up a church? To serve notice. You ain't hear me. I said to serve notice to principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. He raised up a church to serve notice to them that you're done. You're out of business. You ain't hearing me. As the church, God causes us to sit in heavenly places, not that we might sit by weak and namby-pamby and limp-wristed and run around like a bunch of panty-wasted sissies. And yes, I said it, and I'll say it again if I need to drive the point home. A church, the conditions we're in this nation and this world, is because we've got a bunch of weak, limp-wristed Christians running around that think that we got to run from the devil and we got to run away from the world. But I'm telling you something, I realize it's high places. And I realize by yourself it's greater than you. But I'm telling you, you got somebody sitting at the right hand of God that is greater than you. He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah! We're not winning, we've won. We're not going to win, we've won. It's time to take it to the devil. Jesus looked at Peter and said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that we are charging the gates. We have overcome. How many know this? The devil is limited. But he has high places. Huh? I have been places on the mission field that when you go there, you feel it. When you leave there, you feel it leave. High places. Daniel prayed for God to deliver his people from Babylonian captivity. And for 21 days, he got no answer. On the 21st day, Michael stood before him and said, God dispatched me the day you prayed. He said, but I was held up while I defeated the prince of the kingdom of Persia. There was a demonic stronghold he had to get through. Amen. Hey, God said, listen to me, it's the manifold wisdom of God that raised, that formed a plan to lift us up to heavenly places. You're not hearing me. Daniel wasn't a part of the church yet. Amen? He was not. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. Hello? Daniel was not a part of the church. He was an Old Testament patriarch. He was redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats until something better came along. Huh? Daniel. Daniel's prayers were subject to be hindered. The answer was hindered by the high places. But now that Christ is set down in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, my prayers go straight up and the answers come straight down. You know why? Because the Bible says that Jesus Jesus. In Colossians it says He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us out of the way, nailed it to His cross. And He made a show of principalities and powers. And did you get that? Of principalities and powers. Hear me? I said He tore down the principalities and the powers, and He made a show of them openly and gloriously triumphed over them in it. You know what that means? That means He took His foot and He put it on the head of all that is represented by high places. You want to know why I've got victory? Because I've got heavenly places. Hallelujah. Parsons family, you come. While they're coming, I'm preaching to a 10 o'clock rainy day crowd. But I'm preaching to somebody today. And it's not an everybody. And it may be more than a somebody. There may be a few somebodies. But the high places have pulled you down and oppressed you. Am I talking to anybody today that feels oppressed? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything right now. But you're oppressed. You're beaten down. You're cast down. You feel run off, run over. You're just as low as you can be. You feel like quitting. I've been there. Went through some rough times. Went through some hard times. Been through some bad things. One time I told the Lord, "Lord, I don't ever want to preach again. But God lifted me above the high places." How long will you be held captive by high places? Would you stand to your feet today?